So we looked at how redlining has influenced the development of certain regions in the city of Fresno. But what about the history of a particular neighborhood? Janine Raymond lives in the Tower District, and she just published a book about the genesis of the so-called Wilson Island of Homes. FM89's Laura Satsui sat down with Raymond to learn more.
My name is Janine Raymond, and I have written a book about the history of the Wilson Island and Rosanna Cooper Wilson, who's the woman behind it, the woman who had this vision and created it. Well, how did she do this? She filed a tract map in 1908, and women typically didn't do things like that. So I spent about a year and a half just digging to find out more about her, and that's a fascinating story in and of itself, and then her connection to this.
So who was she then? Was she an architect or just a developer?
She was a descendant of Spanish and Mexican land-grant families who grew up in the Salinas, Monterey, Santa Cruz, Castroville area. She was a landowner. She owned hundreds of acres in this area in Fresno. She was a descendant of, well, he's got two names, John Rogers Cooper, but he changed his name to Juan Bautista Rogers Cooper. Major landowner in the 1800s along the coast. That family owned El Sur, for instance, and other ranchos in that area. And she was also a descendant of one of the most powerful men, if not the most powerful man in California in the 1800s, General Mariano Vallejo. And if you're familiar with the Bay Area, the city of Vallejo is named after him. So she came to Fresno soon after she was married. She had two young kids, and she and her husband, George, bought land and developed land, but the land, she was the landowner. He was kind of the entrepreneur, always looking for new opportunities. And she had a vision for what she wanted here. The first tract map that she filed was the Wilson's North Fresno tract. It went from Olive up to McKinley and from Echo over to Wishon.
And so that was North Fresno back then?
It was. It was in the hinterlands. Maps in that era maybe got as far as Belmont. That was major north. You know, why would anybody want 400 acres out here? And they built a house, small, modest, what they called cottage. And then they built their mansion. Their estate was on the corner where the chicken pie shop is. The chicken pie shop, Roger Rocca's, that whole block was their estate. And then she filed the tract map that subdivided this. And she took a very personal interest in this historic district, which is from Floridora to Carmen and Echo up to, but not including Wishon.
And so what would you say makes these homes so distinct?
I think there's two things. Certainly the architecture. That's what stands out the most. This district has been noted by architectural experts for its collection of different architectural styles. It's noted in books that have been written about noteworthy neighborhoods across the country. So certainly the architecture. It's also been the subject of tours periodically since about the 1980s. But there's also a social history here that's absolutely fascinating, and that's the part that interests me, and it's the part that I've written about and I hope others are interested in. So when you take a deep dive into who built these houses, who in 1919 had the money to build this, you find the people who were developing Fresno at the time. You find the architects and builders, the bankers and financiers, the merchants and businessmen, the publisher of the Fresno Morning Republican. They all had homes here. The men knew each other through their business connections. The women had their social clubs that were typical of that era. So there's the Parlor Lecture Club, that was very prestigious to belong to. There were bridge clubs. There were social clubs that had luncheons at Sunnyside Country Club where the men played golf. It's a microcosm of Fresno history in the first two decades of the 20th century, basically.
Sounds like a lot of movers and shakers just all happened to end up in this one place.
Yeah, yeah, they did.
And so right now we're sitting in your home, which is in this Wilson Island, quote-unquote island. How long have you lived here?
We've lived in this house a little over 30 years. And like many people who live in these homes, we've been very interested in restoring it. The homes, the interiors get modified over the years. Most of the time it's not anything too dramatic. And I'd say most of the people here are interested in, when they do a renovation, as you typically do, like for a kitchen, in making it look as if it belonged in the century in which it was built or the decade in which it was built.
I'm curious, considering part of what made this unique for you was the social life of the people who lived in these homes, do you know your neighbors? Like, do you feel like that's still the same way? Obviously, you're really invested in the history, and so you're almost your own mover and shaker in bringing that back up. But do you feel like that's still reflected today?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. This neighborhood is a community, a very active community. In fact, this year is the centennial year for the historic district. So we have a newsletter that goes to every resident here. There's about, I don't know, 80 homes. It hits all those homes, goes via email. And we have a theme each month this year. In May 18th, we have an event scheduled at Fresno High that will be a lecture on, brief lecture, not anything really long, that hits the history of the Wilson Island and also the architecture. So I'll be doing the history part, and Karana Hattersley-Drayton will be doing the architecture part. And then there'll be a self-guided tour after that.
Where does the word island come from? Obviously, this isn't an island, but why is it called Wilson Island?
So that's a great question. And the answer is twofold. A long time ago, I would say, I'm guessing here, and some of the old timers may know better than I, but I think it was in the 1960s that the phrase was coined. The architecture makes it stand out from the other streets in that tract. So it was clearly intended from the beginning to be something different. I wasn't here in the 60s, so I don't know exactly why they grabbed that term, but I can tell you from a different perspective, when it was first subdivided, it was in fact a secluded island. The street configuration on Echo was a little bit different than it is today, where Echo meets Floridora. So there was one entrance, let's see, if you came up what's now Linden, it would circle around. The streets did not go through to McKinley, so Carmen was the end. So it was a loop, kind of like a backwards P, capital P. And it, because of the street configuration, it was effectively an island.
Where it was just homes kind of separated from the other homes.
Yeah. And I think in that era, the buyers and builders of these homes were just a different socioeconomic group than what was being constructed between, say, Floridora and Olive.
And even now, is there anything that still distinguishes this batch of homes from the others? Is it still its own little census tract? Or is it just kind of, if you look around, you can, I know that I sort of noticed like these houses have a different style than the others, but is it maybe just visual at this point?
Yes, it is visual differences. Yeah.
But it's not like a defined, like the census tract anymore isn't the way it is. It used to be.
Right. No, it doesn't have a different census area or any other official defining feature.
Or like zip code. Or...
Yeah, no.
Would you ever imagine living anywhere else?
No, absolutely not. This is the place to live in Fresno. Yeah, the Tower District is special.